I've been looking at some of the commandments, seeing how they're tutors on how to be like God, so that when we reach heaven we'll feel at home, we won't be in a strange place, we'll be used to loving as God loves. Now, when our Lord asks us to do anything, because he's my friend, I feel I can say to him, "Lord, did you do it yourself? You ask us to do things, I want to check out and see if you did it." It's all fair among friends, isn't it? And you'll find that whatever he asks us to do, he did it first. So I'm looking at Luke chapter 6, which for me is our Lord's rule of life, his personal way of living. He said this. It is a commentary, really, I think, on the last 24 hours of his life. But I say this to those of you who are listening, love your enemies. Well, when the apostles were at their weakest, poor men, he loved them at his deepest. Gave himself away at the Last Supper, when one was about to betray him, and another about to deny knowing him, the others, apart from St. John, all ready for a quick departure. Crestfallen. When they were at their weakest, he loved them at his deepest. Why? Because God the Father loves his enemies. And there are a lot of people who have some unlearning to do. The more a person is an enemy of God, I dare say the more God is moved to love them, to come home, to find them, to go to the bushes and find Adam who's hiding. The hound of heaven follows us. Love your enemies. That's beyond ethics, by the way. Beyond humanism. Do good to those who hate you. When they came to arrest him in the garden, St. Peter lost his temper, drew his sword, hit Malchus, hit his ear. Rotten shot, Peter. And our Lord replaced the divot. Because our Lord did good to those who hate him. Why? Because the Father in heaven does good to those who hate him. I remember years ago, an Anglican bishop insinuating that when there was a fire at York Minster, this was God the Father getting his own back on the Bishop of Durham. I said to myself, what sort of God does that bishop believe in? One who retaliates evil for evil? Oh. No, we have to purify this idea of God. God loves his enemies and God does good to those who hate him. And you see our Lord did that to Malchus, healing his ear. Bless those who curse you. When they reviled him, he didn't give them a mouthful back. When they slapped him on the face, he didn't give them a bunch of fives back. He just said, "Why'd you do that?" Pray for those who treat you badly. On the cross he died praying for those who were tormenting him. "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." That's heroic. Again, beyond cheese-paring human philosophy of ethics. It's utterly inspiring, beyond human mind. It's God's mind. To the man who strikes your one cheek, turn the other. To the man who takes your property, do not ask for it back. So on the cross, when they were auctioning his clothes, our Lord did say, oh, you can have my pants, but that's a special robe. You can't have that. My grandmother made that, four knitting needles or something. No, you can't have. He let the lot go. To the man who takes your cloak, do not refuse your tunic. Love your enemies and do good and give without any hope of reward, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Oh, out of our Lord's own mouth, he's telling us that his Father is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And all holiness is, I think, is that family likeness to the Father in heaven. Like Father, like sons and daughters. And I have met so many holy, holy people who are kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Whether they get canonized is quite another matter. It's an optional extra. We're surrounded by saints. And out of our Lord's own mouth, a saint, namely a holy person who's like God, is someone who's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And then he carries on. Be compassionate as your heavenly Father's compassionate. It's one of the commandments that isn't often preached about. Because our Lord was so compassionate. He was moved by suffering and those who had heavy weights put on them. Weak sinners. He didn't come to call those who were well, he came to call the sick. And anyone who's a sinner has a very special entitlement to his understanding and his love. Be compassionate as your heavenly Father's compassionate. And those people who've needed and received most compassion are experts at it, because they know what it is to be compassionate. So I hope we've all had reason to experience Christ's compassion through others. Do not judge, and you'll not be judged. The way for us not to be judged at the last day is not to judge now. I spend my time judging people, I'm afraid. So I hope you'll pray for me. I'm not talking about practical judgments like what will we have for supper or where shall we go for our holidays. I'm talking about when we sit down as if we're God and we think we know everything and everyone. We are the prosecutor, we are the jury, there's no defence usually, we are the judge, and we sentence somebody to something terrible like, you're taken off my Christmas card list. It's very funny, really, how we think we're God and judge people. And the way for us not to be judged is not to judge. Do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned. Our Lord didn't condemn. So neither did the Father condemn him, though he had the sin of the world on his plate. If one's dealing with justice, namely let the punishment fit the crime, in that sort of human justice, if our Lord's going to take the sin of the world, he should have gone to hell. But the Father, thank goodness, isn't like that. Do not condemn. Because our Lord didn't condemn, neither did the Father condemn him. Grant pardon, and you will be pardoned. For me, the most wonderful words our Lord ever said was on the cross. He said, I forgive them. We forgive them. And God the Father says, what's he done? He's forgiven everything. What's he got on his plate? Sin of the world? Forgiven. And I believe the sin of the world was forgiven because he died forgiving. Complete fulfillment of the Our Father. Forgive us to the extent we forgive others. And as I mentioned last week, really, our Lord died of a total hemorrhage. He was complete gift, outpouring of himself and others. And so the Father said, right, he must have my all. Worthy is the Lamb that is slain to receive glory and honour and riches, strength and blessings. To him be glory for ever. Amen. Alleluia. Because the amount he measured out, which was his all, is the amount that he received. Bubbling over, God the Father's gift to him. And the way for us to imitate him is to be hopelessly and hilariously generous with ourselves. It's always the same. Generous people always seem to have more to give. Like the widow who didn't have much oil in her produced oil and was always more. She didn't have much flour, but she produced cakes for Elijah. There was always more. Mean people never have enough. I know a lady who's worth £6 million. Her Christmas presents perhaps cost 50 pence. She's mean. She's miserable. But the poor in spirit, the more they give, the more they seem to have to give. That's against all the laws of motion and science. It's totally beyond ethics. These commandments, especially Luke chapter 6, our Lord's rule of life, are utterly inspiring and beyond human mind, because they reflect God's habits and the house rules of heaven. Amen.